Cleveland's teams covered on Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder, WTAM 1100.
Wills Ways to Save and Helping You Sleep this morning. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News is in. See this at WTAM.com. Keyword save. Matt?
I just want to give an applause to this deal because it is so effective. Doctor approved today. Great to be with you. If you've ever seen those pillows on display at one of those airport shops, they are not the same as what happens to be inside this neck saver, this back protector, and your key to snoring less. You can use this in conjunction with a traditional pillow. And more importantly, well, I had one of my favorite doctors put this to the test.
Cervical pillows are awesome, and a lot of people use them to get out of neck pain and avoid snoring. It's also great to travel with. The problem with the traditional one is, though, it's made of memory foam, which will make you way too hot and you'll sweat. I love the new one with microbeads. Keeps you cool, and you could also sit on it, use it as lumbar support and for your neck.
The key to the effectiveness of this pillow comes down to the microbead interior and, well, the warranty, the backing, the craftsmanship, and now the price. At under $20 with free delivery, you can find this item, which is not a paid product, on our website, your biggest bargains in Northeast Ohio. Back to you.
Good deal. Thanks, Matt. Watch him on Channel 3's Morning News this morning. And back here same time tomorrow with some Made in the USA deals. It's the Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's Ways to Save. Just go to WTAM.com, keyword save. Spring Breaker this summer, head to Disney? Or were you there over Christmas? Going to cost more in the future. Over the weekend, Walt Disney World. And Disneyland. The prices rose over the weekend. Testing again how much families will pay to get in there and see that mouse. Regular ticket pricing up $4 over the weekend. It's now $119 for adults and $113 for the kids at the Magic Kingdom parks in Orlando. Most expensive days, the peak visitation times of the year, you know, the days you really probably want to go, it's $5 more, $129 for you, $123 for the kid. Cheapest days, they're down, they still rose by $2, but they're still $109 for adults and $103 for kids. And parking went up as well. Not just to get in to see, but just to park the car. Up $2, $22 for that general parking where you wait on the tram to come get you. You want to be a little closer, the preferred parking rate, $45 now at Disney. Sports now. You get sports with Mike Snyder mornings at 15 and 45 past on News Radio, WTAM 1100. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Bill. Quite a debut for the new look Cavaliers in Boston.
Works off a Nance screen. Deals off to Clarkson for a three. Got it. That was gorgeous. And Brad Stevens jumps on the floor and really barks at the rookie Ojeleye as the Cavaliers are in the midst of a 14-2 run.
Cavaliers obliterate Boston on the day they retired Paul Pierce's number. I think Paul's got to be wondering, guys, why did you schedule my retirement, my jersey retirement on the day LeBron James is in town? LeBron with 24 points, 10 assists. Cavaliers win 121-99, and the new guys all contributed. Jordan Clarkson, who you heard there, he had 17. Rodney Hood had 15. George Hill had 12. Larry Nance Jr. with 5. LeBron liked what he saw.
But it's a good start, man. It's almost like the new guys have been here. You know, started with George and on the ball pressure and, you know, him just running the team. And then the three guys came off the bench. You know, Jordan is, he's ready to score at any point in time, but his composure was great. Rodney plays with so much poise and Larry was just controlling the perimeter, saying great pick and rolls, got him alive, got him a dunk. You know, it's a good start for the new guys, good start for all of us, you know, with our revamped team so far.
Yes, it's a revamped team. Boy, what a difference a week makes. Just think, a week ago was that loss in Orlando, and now a whole new vibe for the Cavaliers as they get the win, three straight now in the win column. One more to go before the All-Star break. That will be tomorrow night in Oklahoma City. Now, over on the Celtics side, Kyrie Irving was asked about what happened.
You can tell they've made adjustments. I feel like over the last three games of playing some of these teams, they've made some adjustments since the last time we played them. On our pick and rolls, on some of our plays. So as we go forward, I think that we can consistently learn.
Well, it's the last regular season meeting between the Cavs and the Celtics, but now if you look at the top of the East, it's the Toronto Raptors. Cavs at Oklahoma City tomorrow night at 8 o'clock, final game before the break. Spurned by losing the offensive coordinator, the losing offensive coordinator from last week's Super Bowl, Josh McDaniels, the Indianapolis Colts said, let's go on, let's get the winning offensive coordinator to be our head coach, and Frank Reich of the Eagles will try to turn Andrew Luck and company around in Indianapolis. Baseball, pitchers and catchers report to Goodyear this week, and congrats to Rocky River native Red Gerard, winning the gold slope-style snowboarding event at 17 years old, first Games gold medalist born this millennium. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio WTAM 1100. Time now for an Olympic update.
Olympic update from NBC News Radio.
Here's the latest from Pyeongchang. The Team USA medal count is at 4. The first medal was gold for 17-year-old Red Gerard in the men's snowboard slope style. The next, silver for Chris Mosner in the men's luge singles. Number 3, gold for Jamie Anderson in women's snowboard slope style. Team figure skating competition, the U.S. captured bronze after a huge performance from Adam Rippon, who joked with NBC Sports' Mike Tirico, it's nerve-wracking out there.
I want to throw up. I want to go over to the judges and say, can I just have a Xanax and a quick drink? I'll be fine. But I kept it together, and I just took it one element at a time. And I said, you know what? I can do this. I've been waiting my whole life. And it felt so good.
Looked good, too. Women's hockey, Team USA defeated Finland 3-1 to start preliminary round play. Olympic update, Matt Stewart, NBC News Radio.
News Radio WTAM 1100. This is Bill Wills. We are getting closer to tax time. If you're like me, you've started to notice a couple things in your email inbox. Click here for this or that or something in the mailbox you're going to need for tax returns. Melanie Ross, NCA Financial Planner, is with me this morning. And Melanie, good morning to you.
Good morning.
With that in mind, you've got a few reminders for us. Melanie, of course, a certified financial planner and one of the best out at NCA Financial Planners. Three reasons why now might be a good time to connect your advisor and your CPA together, right?
Absolutely right. There are a number of reasons. These are just sort of the top three.
Good things. Now, if you have neither, well, then maybe a good reason to talk to one or the other about some of these things. Let's go through some things here. Taxable investments versus tax-free investments. Understanding and separating what those are, right?
Exactly. So, you know, there are certain investments out there that are more tax-friendly than others. Municipal bonds, for example, they offer tax-free income. So if you're in a high tax bracket, you may benefit from owning municipal bonds. Corporate bonds, on the other hand, don't offer tax-free income. Everything is taxable. Your accountant knows what tax bracket you're in. So if your CPA and financial advisor are in communication with each other, then your financial advisor is going to be better able to make investment recommendations because he'll know which taxable or tax-free investments make the most sense for you.
I know you hate broad questions, but I'm going to ask one. I have seen a couple of stories about, hey, start looking at your paycheck the next few weeks. In some cases, with this tax plan that was signed into law, some of us might start seeing some more cash?
Absolutely. Okay. There could be a little bit of a surprise there for you, a little bit of bump up in your paycheck.
So be aware of that. Okay, I'm glad I asked. Now I'm going to look for it. Now, if I don't see it, I'm going to call you and see what's going on.
Okay, good.
All right. Capital gains and losses. Talk about that some when it comes to taxes.
Okay. Sell an investment that you made money in, it's called a capital gain. When you sell an investment that you lost money in, it's called a capital loss. Capital losses can be used to offset capital gains, or they can be used to offset up to $3,000 of ordinary income per year. Now, if you have losses that exceed these amounts, then you can carry them forward to use in future years. Your tax return is where this information is listed. So if your accountant and your financial advisor are working together on this, then your capital losses can actually be a really valuable asset when it comes time for your financial advisor to realize any investment gains for you.
Good point. Make sure you're communicating with everybody and they understand
right.
The whole plan. Okay. One more here for you. Melanie Ross at NCA Financial Planners on connecting a financial planner and your tax advisor here. Required minimum distributions for some?
Right. So, you know, if you have money in a retirement account, you're required to begin taking distributions from it when you turn 70 and a half. Now, the rule is in the year you turn 70 and a half, you actually have until April 1st of the following year to take your first required minimum distribution. All the following ones after that have to happen by December 31st. But if you happen to turn 70 and a half in 1 year, and 71 in the next, it may be in your best interest to take your first required minimum distribution before the end of the calendar year rather than waiting until April 1st of the following year so that you're not taking two distributions in the same tax year, which could potentially bump up your tax bracket. Your CPA and financial advisor should work together on this to determine whether or not this is something that you should do.
Good info. Good topics, at least know to ask about when it comes to the people that are helping you with your money. Melanie Ross at NCA Financial.
And the more people looking for you, the better.
That's a good point. Melanie, appreciate it. Thanks much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
This is Bill Wills. Okay, you can buy or lease a car, but John Matarese over at News 5 Cleveland with me this morning says, Bill, there's a third way. I guess you could rent one, but this is also a car subscription, John?
Yes, really fascinating, Bill. It's called car subscriptions, and some people say this is going to be the future. They say this is going to have... be how a lot of people in Northeast Ohio and everywhere else get cars in 10 years or so. You know what happens is, Bill, you get tired of your car after a while.
Sure.
Everybody does.
Yeah.
Okay, you have a car 2-3 years.
Yeah.
You might have a 4-5 year loan on it, and you're like, wow, I'm still driving this thing. Well, with a car subscription, what you do is you pay a monthly fee. It's sort of like a lease. But instead of a lease, you get to have a different car every couple of months. So you can get a different car every season. You just bring it back and get a different one. So let's say, you know, you want for those you know, Cleveland winters, obviously, mm-hmm. you want an SUV, something with four-wheel drive. Well, then what happens is, you know, in the spring, you want a pickup truck. So you can get mulch and dirt and, you know, and things for the yard. So you want a pickup truck for a couple of months. Then you go, you know what, I don't need a pickup truck in the summer. I'd like a convertible. And for the summer, you can be driving yourself a nice convertible and then go back to the SUV in November. And it's fascinating how this works, but this is how these new subscription services are working. A few dealers are offering them. Also, a few manufacturers are offering them. Volvo, Cadillac, there's a few that are starting to offer these. The only downside, Bill, it's not cheap.
Yeah, the price is up a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, they're charging about $900 a month. And before you freak out saying, I could never pay $900 a month, you have to realize what it includes. It actually includes everything, including your auto insurance, because you can't use your regular auto insurance. You know, you can't use Geico.
It's not technically your, yeah, not technically your car. Okay.
Yeah, it's not technically your car. It's their car, and it's like, you know, it's like renting one at the airport.
Right.
And what happens is, you know, you can't call Progressive every month and say, I changed my car.
Right, you know? Right, right.
So what it is you insure through them. So you're paying taxes. They take care of taxes, all the insurance on it. You don't need a car insurance policy. They take care of absolutely everything. You know, you never have to buy tires. You have to pay for an oil change. So for $900 a month, you know, you think that a lot of, you know, people buy a car and they're paying $500 or $600 a month. $900 a month is expensive, but compared to paying $500 or $600 a month, everything that includes, it's not that much more expensive.
Interesting business model. I'll tell you what, John, in some areas of this country where, you know, you don't need a car all the time, or you're right, you need different vehicles at different times, And I also think it's interesting that it's not the dealers. These are the actual, you know, the manufacturers are getting into this. This is interesting.
Some of the manufacturers are starting to do this. Ford is looking at it. They're doing it. They're experimenting it in some markets. And so it's like we're basically, you get a different Ford every 2 or 3 months.
By the way, I looked up the Porsche. If you want a different Porsche, it's about $3,000 a month. That's it.
I didn't mention that one, Bill.
Well, I thought I'd look at least while I was on with you. John Madden. Good stuff. He's posted the story over at news5cleveland.com on car subscriptions. Thanks, John.
Great talking to you.
He has full confidence in his current chief of staff, General John Kelly, and that he is not actively searching for replacements.
I think the tweet could be applied to a bunch of different people, and I wondered if the president was talking about his friend Steve Wynn.
Congress should hold him accountable. We are obligated to have hearings.
Those accusers have had their day on your network and elsewhere for a long time.
Hi, good morning. Where do you want to begin? Because there are several fronts in Washington cooking this week.
Let's start with some resignations, domestic abuse. You don't like these headlines, do you?
No, and they're not going away, I don't think. You had Rob Porter resign on Wednesday. He's the staff secretary of the White House after those allegations of physical and emotional abuse came from really British tabloids. But the controversy surrounding this still is that the White House apparently knew for months about this and still he was able to handle classified information. And, of course, you had the president tweeting about it over the weekend, adding to more controversy, saying that people's lives are being shattered and destroyed by mere allegation. He writes, there is no recovery for someone falsely accused. He writes, life and career are gone. Is there no such thing as any longer as due process? Now, I should also mention you had a second staffer Friday, David Sorensen, who's a speechwriter in the White House. He stepped down after his ex-wife went public with allegations of physical abuse. So controversy is also concerning the chief of staff, John Kelly, and how he's been handling all of this, especially Rob Porter, how long he knew and why after learning about it, as some say, he actually gave more responsibilities to Porter. So this is a story that I think is going to linger for a while.
You know, on Kelly, he came in to kind of settle things down and you know, make sure the trains are running on time. So this is not noise you want around him either, right?
No, exactly. And you do have people like Kellyanne Conway, the Trump advisor, who, you know, went on the Sunday talk shows on ABC and said that the president has full confidence in Kelly and is not looking for a replacement. But we've heard this kind of thing before, and the pressure really is on Kelly. And you're right. He was seen as someone who would sort of stabilize the White House. And but right now there is reporting that the president very unhappy with him, unhappy with his own aide, Hope Hicks, who apparently was reportedly dating this Rob Porter. And so there's a lot of chaos going on within the West Wing there.
Chaos, Trump, it all kind of goes along. All right, setting up for another interesting week. Our Sharon Reed. Thanks, Sharon.
You got it. Take care.
Well, it's very interesting, Bill. Several polls. You look at the latest ABC Washington Post poll, this is what's called the generic ballot. Are people likely to vote for a Democrat or Republican in the fall? 57% of men say they're going to vote Republican, but only 31% of women, an enormous change. You've got to remember that Trump got 41% of the women's vote, so that's a 10% drop from his performance. Or you look at the Gallup poll, which has been surveying thousands of people around the country, and Gallup says that Trump's average favorable rating is at 38. But among women, it's only 31. So there's a tremendous shift here against Trump, and particularly in states like Ohio. Gallup reports that among white women in Ohio, Trump has lost 18% of support, 19% in Wisconsin and Minnesota. So this is a very significant potential sign for the fall election.
Yeah, potential. It's February, but let's play this out. If you're a Republican in the House and you're up for re-election or you're running, then you look at these numbers and that may, you know, tell you how or how not to use the president. If you're a Democrat, you'll just want to tie Trump to whoever it is you're running against.
Well, that's certainly true, particularly in certain areas. Let's remember, Republicans have a firewall because they have controlled state legislatures now for years. They were very clever and very determined to pour a lot of resources into those races, Bill. And so they've controlled redistricting in many states, which is going to be a big help to them in holding off the Democratic wave. But women are leading this charge. And when you get a week like we've just had, where the White House has been roiled by the departure of two senior people accused by their former wives of sexual harassment and physical battery in their marriages. And the president, in his tweets and his comments, has shown great sympathy for the men in the situation and never once any sympathy for the wives who have protested and complained about the treatment they received. So this is just one example, Bill, of the kind of news that coming out of the White House that can reinforce this trend of women opposing the president and opposing Republicans. Obviously, women vote on many, many issues, including the economy, which is good. But these the posture, the public face of the White House through the president on these issues cannot help him with women voters.
Hey, let me get you out here on this budget deal. I mean, over the weekend, I saw some reaction, more of the details of this thing. Boy, the Republicans can spend just as well as the Democrats, can't they? I mean, no matter what they say, they love spending money too.
Well, bottom line here, Bill, is the Republican Party, which has held itself out as the deficit hawk, the responsible spenders, have totally abandoned that idea. You know, just a few years ago, people, and Republicans were proposing a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution. If you combine the tax cuts, which they pushed through, which is going to cost the Treasury $1.5 trillion, You add on these the two-year budget, which is going to cost several more hundreds of billions of dollars. Both the tax bill and the budget add enormously to the deficit. But one of the reasons why Republicans feel free to do this and be, in the words of Rand Paul, a Republican senator, totally hypocritical, is that polling shows the public doesn't care much about the deficit. So it's full steam ahead in spending the government money.
Unreal. All right. Well, it's Washington. I guess it is real. Our political analyst, Steve Roberts. Thanks, pal. Have a good week.
You too.
And what a, you know, what a reversal it was from just a weekend ago. I mean, think about when Houston came to town in Cleveland, ran all over the Cavaliers, and just the way things felt for this team and the way it was trending. And then you look at what's happened over the last 4 days. I mean, you have the trades, which take place 6 players out. 4 players come into this team. You have the game in Atlanta where the Cavaliers are shorthanded, playing basically with, you know, only 10 guys. They played only 7.5 virtually in that game, in that rotation, win going away in the fourth quarter. And then, you know, who could have expected what happened yesterday? With only one practice, the foursome of George Hill, Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, and Larry Nance, they fit in virtually seamlessly. Clarkson goes for 17 off the bench, Hood 15. Hill was steady as ever in the starting lineup. You know, he harassed Kyrie throughout the game. Irving finished with 18 points, a game worst, minus 19. And then the act of Nance doing a little bit of everything. What a performance by the Cavs. And, oh, by the way, LeBron James, nearly his third straight triple-double with 24, 10, and 8. And the guy only played 28 minutes. We haven't seen that in a long, long time as the Cavaliers just rolled 121-99. The place there, I got to tell you guys, was about to explode. I mean, they were set to retire Paul Pierce's number after the game, and people were packed in there 45 minutes early. They trotted Pierce out maybe 20 minutes before the game, so the place was rocking before tip. And the Cavs went in there and just crushed them and belted them. You know, basically at the end of the first quarter, the Cavs started to make their run, and that was it. And it was a beautiful sight. And when you think about it, guys, the first time the Cavs have drilled a good team all season long, and man, it felt good to do that once again and see the Cavaliers really take it to the Celtics.
John, that was a supercharged atmosphere. You know, you look back at that first quarter, the Celtics came out. They were ready to play. It was like the Cavs just took their will away in that second quarter.
Yeah, well said, Mike, and they did it defensively. And when's the last time we said that this season?
I don't remember.
Particularly, right, particularly against a good team. And the Celtics ended up, they shot in that first quarter well over 50%. They ended up, Mike, shooting just a smidge over 40% for the ball game. Meanwhile, the Cavs shot at 54%. And the three-pointers coming back. You know, when you move the basketball, it's crazy how that works out. You get better looks. The three-point shot is resurrecting itself as the Cavs go 16 of 30 all the way around. It was fantastic. I mean, just to one practice. That's all those guys had, Hill, Clarkson, Hood, and Nance, to try to assimilate themselves. Afterwards, we talked to Rodney Hood. He said LeBron's advice was, hey, you guys know how to play, just play. And they did. And for long stretches, Mike, remember, too, Tyronn Lue was going with 5 reserves, so he had Clarkson, Hood, and Nance out there at the same time, along with Green and Korver, and that's when the Cavaliers played some of their best stretches of basketball. Hood finished with a plus 14, best out of the reserves, and I don't know, you couldn't have been disappointed with any of their performances. It was really a sight to see in Boston yesterday.
Yeah, and John, beyond all the numbers, the look on their faces, the joy that they're playing the game, LeBron bouncing out of up off his feet off the bench, all of the players involved, there's just a whole different look, isn't there?
And it's crazy that we're talking about the difference of 3 or 4 days, Mike. It is. It was apparent to me in Atlanta before those guys got there. You know, I mean, the Cavs winning in the way that they did shorthanded. And, yes, it's an Atlanta team that at the time was 20 games under 500. But they were playing fast, Mike. You know, I mean, it was. I think these last 2 games are the fastest they've played, you know, statistically speaking, all season long, getting a lot of possessions, forcing a lot of turnovers. Yesterday it was 15 against the Boston team that's good at controlling the basketball. So you're right, Mike. I mean, I think there's just a breath of fresh air, a rejuvenated attitude. And man, right when the Cavaliers needed it as we go into this All-Star break, and hopefully they can start to surge again in the last couple of months of the season.
John, Michael on the Cavs at OKC tomorrow night, then the break, and I don't have to tell you two. You look at the month of March, they're playing every other day,
yeah.
It looks like, guys.
It's just, it's a sprint to the finish when you look at it.
Yeah, packed schedule. The only, I think, that's redeeming about March is that the games are spaced out in terms of you're basically playing every other day. Yeah, there are loads of games, but, you know, thanks to the league, too, the league has eliminated those four-game and five-day stretches. So, yes, while there's a ton of games in March, they are spaced out fairly evenly. And I guess when you talk to the players, they say, hey, if we're playing a lot of games, at least give us a routine, give us a groove that we can get into. So, yeah, March is going to be a test for the Cavaliers, no question about it. Longest road trip of the season comes in the middle of that month as the Cavaliers go out west. But, man, good signs, again, that, you know, the early returns are positive in terms of the move and the way the Cavaliers have been playing over the last couple of games.
All right, John Michael. Thanks, John.
Yeah, you got it, guys. Have a good week.